And coming up next on the stream of free radio at freakradio.org, it's Bathrobespierre's Broadsides, the October 28th, 2021 edition. I'm going to be postponing much discussion of the OVO ordinance, the oversized vehicle ordinance, actually, which passed the city council, the Santa Cruz City Council, on Tuesday until the Sunday show, assuming that I get to the Sunday show, which is quite possible. And so you're going to have to wait for that. You can read my commentary online as to my predictions, and they pretty much turned out. It was a 5-2 vote in favor of this repressive, resource-poor ordinance, which was just a sort of window dressing for bigotry to spruce it up to make it look legally acceptable under the Martin versus Boise, and also it pandered to some kind of acknowledgement to liberal sensibilities by talking about potential resources in the future without providing the really vital places for RVs and so-called oversized vehicles to park, which do not currently exist except in private spaces and in the imagination of some city staffers. Neither location of those places nor funding for it was made available nor given a time frame. Anyway, listen on and you're going to hear more from the streets than from the online city council, which as usual Zoomed rather than opening up its chambers. So apparently they plan to open them up in November at some point. So you may be able to go and shout your concerns at them and hope that they will listen, or at least have to pause in their well-oiled machine.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
And now let's go directly into street interviews. And it's about 2:20 on October 25th. I'm down here at the Food Not Bombs lot. The Food Not Bombs tabling has moved to the right adjacent to the Santa Cruz Community Credit Union, perhaps to avoid the wind, perhaps to give more room to the folks who are tenting. And that's, I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 tents at least. Some of them rather big.
What you up to?
Taking accounts. Anything happening down here you want to comment on?
No. Everything's pretty mellow. Let's see. My friend here and his boyfriend broke up, so there's a little bit of tension with this young man. And other than that, teens are beautiful. I'm picking up the garbage of the people that accidentally drop it, of course.
Or intentionally, and then ignore it.
Well, that's beside the point. Some don't have the ability to understand. We would like a clean area for sanitation.
You're just plain sloppy.
Fucking pigs, if you want to know the plain English.
That's how it goes.
But you must keep your cup 3/4 full and pick it up with a fucking smile and give them cigarettes, and then they yell less. And keep your day calm.
So this is your approach.
How else could it possibly be? Without a love, you have nothing.
And we've been talking with
Terry William Cochran. I live in Half Moon Bay. I come here 3 days a week, and I enjoy every day I get to come here and play with mental illness, addiction, and play. You know, we're getting the heroin babies now, and they're a whole different group of personality splits, and it's fucking amazing.
Anything happening up in Half Moon Bay that you want to comment on?
No. Taxes are outrageous. Mine are $1,700 a month, taxes. And every time I park my motorhome, I get $38 tickets and nice green awards. But no, same as around Santa Cruz.
Are you an RV liver yourself?
When I'm here, I am. I pay $48 tickets about three times, sometimes when I'm here 3 days. And then when I go back to Half Moon Bay, I get the green tickets, and you move every 72 hours. It will not fit in my driveway. I live right on Cabrillo.
What kind of, where are you parking here that's giving you tickets?
Natural Bridge Road in between Delaware and Western. There's probably 12 campers. I keep my area very clean. But, you know, basically it's still cheaper than rent. I pay $48 every time the volunteer fucktards come up and give me an award on my windshield. And I just write out a fucking check and I chalk it up to, okay, that was half of a motel room for me to donate to the homeless and mentally ill.
Unfortunately, it's not going to the homeless, it's going to the fucking city, but...
Well, right, they just got, what, $10 million here in Santa Cruz?
Something like that.
I read where, well, okay, the homeless garden, look at that fiasco going on presently. And that has been home for 30 years for people in need, and it's going to go away shortly, watch.
Thank you, Terry.
All right, you have a blessed day, young man.
All right, you too, keep coming.
Every day's blessed. We get out of bed.
I guess. Name again. You are
Max.
Robert Max.
I didn't cut my line up on the tree when he's done service. I put some of
it. How's the food here? Is the food any good?
The food's edible.
Edible.
Usually what I remember, the only pickup was pollen, you know, when we come in January. It's not supposed to be wasted. We're going to do cannibalism. You just give us another type of life other than us. We eat what we want. Give us another type of life. I think that'd be an easy term.
Mac, are you outside much? I mean, are you sleeping outside?
Yeah, I've been outside for a while.
How's it treating you?
It's I'm not really left alone when I'm sleeping. I'm not really pampered on my sleep, but I'm used to having like a stable life.
How long have you been outside? What do you reckon?
Day one. But. Anyway, but for the housing project, ever since this happened, you're feeling better after the houses are appearing in your voice for them and kiss the thumb.
Catching some of it. Anything you want to add?
I just need a place where I can call home, where I can cover myself in a house, you know, the house. And just, I pay for my seat swam. For my seed from cutting in front of the tree, for my seed swimming a woman, the egg is broken. I pay for everything about where she's at, and I work it off. I give my part of it.
And again, we've been talking with
Maxwell Asciago.
Thank you, Max. Actually, three different canopies covering, I don't know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 tables, which food is being served from hot canisters. In different buckets, and there's a clothing area too, although there's no clothing there at the moment. And I'm walking now over to what was the Food Now Bombs area for many months, more adjacent to Water Street, no, Broadway, or Laurel actually. Laurel on this side, Broadway on the other. I'm the man, or one of the men, anyway. I see it's very windy over here. How are you doing, man?
Okay. You don't want to touch it.
Okay.
My knees are blown out from crawling around and trying to get up and down. And, you know, I've got some other minor issues, but, you know, this thing here on my arm.
Your left arm.
Yeah, it doesn't.
It's some kind of a
fungal thing. And Cooper's going to give me some cream for it. So, God bless Cooper.
God bless Cooper, my friends. No, I don't believe in God. I believe in Cooper, that's for sure.
Right. Well, I mean, it's...
Speak of the devil, here she comes. This man wants Ungund Ocean and to deal with his hand.
Oh. And, well, I just want to sit and have coffee.
Yeah.
Some, have some lunch. And No, I can get that.
Gotcha.
Just, hey, yeah, I'm having trouble walking. So I got this
fancy wheelchair.
Got a wheelchair. So I can maneuver and navigate, but I'm trying to stay off the beaten path. But I like the levee. I can just scoot out the street and not have to navigate intersections and stoplights and cars, and much, much more convenient.
And of course, we've been talking with
James, St. James.
Thank you, James. Anything you want to add?
I want to go talk to the city council.
They're coming in tomorrow, but you can't. You have to break, bang on the door, or else go Zoom on them. You know, you have to do it online.
I don't. I don't care how I do it, but you have to go online first and register or something.
Not to register, but you can't. They don't have. There's no in-person city council meeting. You have to go. They Zoom. It's distant.
Okay. I can do that.
They can Zoom you right out of the camera.
Get in the camera. They get in the camera. You get 2 minutes if you're lucky.
Okay. Good talking to you. Thanks for the information, brother. I know you've been in contact with the city council before, but if they were my business development managers, they'd all be fired.
Cornfield over there.
They all would be fired.
We're undercover.
And I was surprised that they don't have a high-speed internet. One of my ideas, we're going to take the railroad tracks that go from Half Moon Bay down to Watsonville and trench out the railroad tracks with a ditch wedge up to the side, articulated arm, and we do a trench all the way from Half Moon Bay down to Watsonville. Second choo-choo comes down with fiber optic cables, specifically an OC-192, that does 54 gigabits, and we take 10 of them, bond them together for accumulated bandwidth of about 540 gigabytes.
I think you're getting over my technical level, probably the technical level of listeners here.
Okay, so anyways, we lay fiber optic up and down the coast, and we put a point of presence, a pop, every couple of miles, and then we lease it out to the telecoms. They pay for it. We sign them a 10-year lease, so they have access to that bandwidth, and they will pay through the nose for that access.
When you get this done, I want to know more about it.
The city council is not really in charge. It's the county.
Yep. Yeah, the county soups is also meeting, but I'm going to wind it up here, and again, thank you, James, for talking with me.
No problem, Robert. Always a pleasure to see you.
Same here.
God bless Santa Cruz. God bless Santa Cruz.
We have a song, God Bless Our Santa Cruz. It goes to the tune of God Bless America.
Let's hear it.
God bless our Santa Cruz, town that we love. Stand beside her and guide her through the day with the J from above. Hallelujah! For the hippies and the artists and the surfers, wet with foam. God bless our Santa Cruz, our home sweet home. God bless our Santa Cruz, our home sweet home.
We're going to leave the psych ward now. Thank you very much, you two.
That's all we had to say.
I was locked up for a month and a half for no reason.
I heard that, but I didn't get the report.
Well, it's supposed that I came and threatened to stab up two hotel owners. But it's complete bullshit. I didn't threaten them in any way, shape, or form. They have nothing on video camera, and they have nothing verbal. All they have is the two cops that I came to see what was going on, because I wanted to make sure there's nothing wrong. And they went in and convinced the hotel owners to say I was going to stab them. So it was four words against mine. And that doesn't work out real well.
No. Did you have to do a plea in order to get out of jail, or what happened there?
I didn't do any plea. I'm still in. I'm not pleading any of that. I'm not pleading guilty to that.
No low contendere? No contest?
No, I'm still pleading innocent. because I've done nothing wrong.
Now, are you due back in court to further enmesh yourself in this crap?
Wednesday, the 27th, I have to be there at 8:15 in the morning.
And I will be. How was jail? Tell me about it.
Jail sucks. They look at you every hour to make sure you're breathing. And it's ridiculous. And it's just a big fucking form of them making money. And most of the people in there didn't do a damn thing. There are some people in there that murdered people. They should be in there. And people that hit somebody drunk driving, they should be in there. Other than that, more than half the people that are in there for bullshit charges.
Did you have many conversations with folks?
Yeah, I did.
What stands out in your mind, conversations you had, if anything?
A few people that shot someone in self-defense. One guy, a friend of mine I met in there, did 8 years. He killed 3 people, but it was self-defense. They tried to rob him for his drugs, and he had proof of that. So he killed them, and he only got 8 years for killing 3 people. That's not bad.
Local in Santa Cruz?
Yes, that was.
Anybody in the Santa Cruz Homeless Union, did you do any organizing while you were in jail?
No organizing was done. While I was in jail.
How do you feel now that you're out? Does things look different to you? What's your thought about now that you're here?
Well, I have an ankle monitor, and I'm on informal probation, but I do have a probation officer I have to talk to. She's a mental health lady for the county. Because I'm mentally unstable, but not to the point of being a threat to anybody, to the point of when I come into a tough situation, I don't know what to do, and I sometimes act like an 8-year-old. I don't hurt nobody, but the only time I'll hurt someone is if you attack me. If you attack me, it's self-defense.
Okay. The things here look like they've changed at all.
Oh, there's a lot of tents here now, and it seems like there's a little more freedom, but maybe not much. You never know how long it's going to last. Do they have any ganja in them?
No, they're just gone.
Okay.
So,
I'm going to fight it in court. I'm not going to take this. This is a bunch of garbage. I did nothing wrong. And 4 people are lying to get me in trouble for I haven't done anything.
Have the police been on your tail since you've been released, which was what, about a week ago?
No, about for 3 days I've been out.
Huh.
That's my 3rd day out. I was released late on Friday, and this is Monday. Yeah, I've been out. This is my 3rd day out.
I remember I was part of a conversation at the homeless union's meeting on Friday. I wasn't there, but I was on the phone. So.
Oh, well, I was there.
Yeah, I think we interviewed you by phone a little bit. But I'm glad to catch you here in person.
Yeah, what they've got on me is garbage, garbage, garbage. I shouldn't have gone to jail. It was a whole bunch of horse shit, but I didn't have any people with me to prove that I didn't say that. It was 1 against 4.
Now, you're in a vehicle here. Right? What do you do at night? Are you stay in your vehicle, and are you getting hassled?
I stay in my vehicle.
Are you getting hassled there?
No, I'm not.
And the police know you're there, and they're ignoring you, or do you hide well? What's the deal?
I hide well, but this is a really nice vehicle, so it doesn't look like a humpty dumpster truck with bags hanging off it. I have a very nice luxury vehicle, and it looks luxury.
Very good. Now, I noticed there are a lot of tents here. Because you just got out 3 days ago, have you been coming to Food Not Bombs the last few days?
Yes. The day I got out, I helped Keith move a whole bunch of food from his car to help the people in the field. That was the afternoon I got out. So.
And now we rudely interrupt with a little music. But we'll be back with more of Dreadeye.
Yanukovych is corrupt. He's a billionaire. His money's in Swiss banks. It's just unfair. It may be halfway around the world, but we're very concerned. All this corruption about which we've learned. When it comes to corruption, we're just so green. Just don't mention the Shah or the Philippines. Don't mention the lobbyists or the shades of gray. That's not the American way. That's not the American way. That's not the American way. Don't mention the lobbyists or the shades of gray. That's not the American way. It's not the American way, and neither are the riot cops sent to crush the protesters who want the corruption to stop. We'd never prop up kleptocrats with billions in loans, or back up police states who kill kids for throwing stones. We wouldn't get involved, it's just not our place. It doesn't matter if they're renting us a military base. Unlike those damn Russians, that's not the way we play. That's not the American way. That's not the American way. That's not the American way. Unlike those Russians, that's not the way we play. That's not the American way. That's not the American way. It goes against our creed, and we'd never get involved if someone wanted to secede. We wouldn't get involved. We'd just stay out of the debate, because we respect the borders of every sovereign state. We respect elections, whichever way they go. Just don't mention Daniel Ortega or the state of Kosovo. Unlike Russia, we'd never jump into the fray. That's not the American way. That's not the American way. That's not the American way. Unlike Russia, we'd never jump into the fray. That's not the American way. That's not the American way, and neither is the use of force. We would never mass our soldiers on someone's borders, of course. We'd never mass our soldiers or rehearse war games. Or at least when we do, it's just not the same. It's just not the same, because we always have good reason, like defending American students or finding weapons of mass destruction. Us act like the Russians, that'll be the day. That's not the American way. That's not the American way. That's not the American way. Us act like the Russians, that'll be the day. That's not the American way. That's not the American way. That's not the American way. Us act like the Russians, that'll be the day. It's not the American way.
And that was American Way by David Rovics. He writes the following about that. On February 22, 2014, Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych was deposed by a right-wing coup, replacing a pro-Russian kleptocrat, Yanukovych, or however I pronounce him, with a pro-Western guy with active Western support and encouragement. Years of cold civil war, well, actually hot civil war, would follow.
Boring you, or do they just, you hide well? What's the deal?
I hide well, but this is a really nice vehicle, so it doesn't look like a Humpty Dumpster truck with bags hanging off it. I have a very nice luxury vehicle.
Very good. Now, I noticed there are a lot of tents here. Have you, of course, you just got out 3 days ago. Have you been coming to Food Not Bombs the last few days?
Yes. The day I got out, I helped Keith move a whole bunch of food from his car to help the people in the field. That was the afternoon I got out. So I've been helping him set up, and I help out here. But he's got enough help today. I'm just here to make sure everything stays peaceful. And I'm not going to attack anybody. I'm just going to make sure everything's beautiful.
Very good. Now, what about the benchlands? How did they survive the rain? You get any sense of that?
It's a swamp down there. A lot of people got flooded. It's not a good place for people to be during the rain.
Yeah, have you been down there since the rain?
Yeah, I tried to go down last night to Justin's tent. Couldn't go. Night before I could, and the night before that I could. But last night it was swamped.
Wow. That was after the rain, the major rain, I guess.
Yep.
Thank you. Anything you want to add, Greta?
The police here only do a good job pulling over drunk drivers and getting someone who shot someone. Most of the stuff they do here is a bunch of garbage, and they need to stop doing it.
And we've been talking with?
Randolph Vaden Tolley III, born August 2nd, 1967. Everybody calls me Dread Eye.
And I will too. Thank you, Dread Eye.
All right, have a great day.
You too. Hey, Troy. You haven't called me lately. Everything's been peaceful and calm.
No, but I had my Obama phone or Assurance Wireless phone. As soon as I got here, the battery would not charge itself. So I had to order a new one. I ordered a new one.
So you haven't been able to charge your phone, Troy?
I ordered a new one, and I got a new one in the mail, and the very next day it didn't work at all. See, numbers are a hard thing for me to hold on to, as well as my Google Gmail accounts, because I can't get a phone a text on. I've lost 14 phones since I've been here, lost, stolen, damaged.
How long has that been? What period of time?
About 3.5 years, 4 years, going on 4 years. And, anyways, I ordered a new one. The very next day it wouldn't work at all. So now I got another one coming in the mail. But I don't have the numbers anymore, even so.
Take it. Does anyone in this campground have a phone that's operational?
Very rarely.
But yet the police have not yet descended on you again. Things have been...
Actually, the other day, they came into the parking lot for the sole reason to ticket any. There was a Harley was here and my car was here, and I got 3 tickets on my car about my tags and about parking and this and that. And then the cop came back twice in a day just to see my car because that's my home, that's my horse. As a man, I'm not traveling in commerce, I'm traveling just to live in my vehicle pretty much. When I can sleep outside, I do. But I don't have registration, and I don't have any license to drive. I've been driving that way for 6 years, and I've been pulled over.
Major criminal, eh?
Yes, I am. But I'm not traveling in commerce. As a man, I should have a right to go from point A to point B to survive. And that's the way I do it, even because my bad hip and knee, I can't walk from here to there. My bike got stolen one time, so if I don't have a bike, I'm kind of... Yeah, I'm kind of stranded and stuck.
Are you pretty much in your car at the moment, or you also have a tent?
I had, but the windstorm destroyed it almost completely, and the blankets and stuff got all wet and soggy. And when we get our blankets and clothes here get dirty and soggy and wet, we don't have anywhere to dry them. There's rarely any money to do wash at a laundromat, so we have to usually throw them away and get new ones or something like that because it has... A lot of times tents break the poles with the wind, and we have to throw it away and get new ones because we're living out here in the dirt. We don't have hot water or electricity or the luxuries of being American, even though I feel that.
That beautiful porta potty that's right over there.
Yeah. That thing's usually terribly a mess or overcrowded. Too many people and too many people go use it.
Did you change the seat in the porta potty, or is it still a broken seat?
Broken. Oh, is it?
They did. They changed the seat. How many weeks did that take? Cooper is shaking her head. It says months. So Troy, I interrupted. Is there more you want to say?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thanks, Keith Matt Bombs, for help, all his help with us. And if I could get a Ryobi 40-volt rechargeable blower, I'd blow out the parking lot and make some money around town doing other parking lots.
And we've been talking with
Troy.
And it's rare to see you smile, Troy. Glad to see you smiling. Cooper, how did the windstorm affect the camp here?
Oh, wow. That was gnarly. But I'm kind of an adrenaline junkie, so I love the excitement of a good big storm. Right,
yeah,
my tent collapsed. My tent collapsed, but I got it resurrected again. So I'm happy about that. But the winds literally like blew the poles over, and it collapsed. But it's back up again.
I see what looks like more tents than a week ago.
And now
people are gathering around here because this is peace camp. Yeah. We try to keep peace here. A lot of troublemakers come in and out of here, but this group is more peaceful than a larger place, we think. And we try to keep the hearts hard.
Homeless, SLE. tell
them what I was going to say. Say what I was going to say.
We're on Better Homeless and Gardens.
Try to keep that away from here.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's like our it's like our homeless. I can't. I gave you one back. Here, I'll give you one more. But
I don't know.
More women.
How many women would you say are in the camp?
Let's see. There's one, two, three.
Who's counting the women?
Five. Just on this little stretch. So just a little less than half, which is cool.
I mean, it appears that you have one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. I see ten tents. I think earlier I counted 11 or so.
Because there's cube out there. And there are both females that live back there.
There's more than one to a tent, right?
No, not all of them. Some of them, not all the tents.
I gotcha. And most of the tents were blown away or not?
No, we really have... We're seasoned out here. We've been out here for many years. So we've learned through mistakes of the past how to do it right when you know a storm's coming and be prepared.
But your tent still got blown. And
mine, actually, the back poles just kind of collapsed down. But once I opened the windows inside the tent, it resurrected... Really? Cool. So,
look, see where it is at the very end? That's how much the book has changed.
That's cool.
Anything else?
That's it. No, we're doing...
And we've been talking with...
This is Cooper, and thank you.
Thanks, Cooper.
Thank you for caring.
Usual update. This was last night.
Yesterday. In the day.
Yesterday in the day, you were telling...
Like later afternoon. No, it was early, before Food Not Bombs came. Not a big deal.
I mean, it's an example. It's just an example of what's happening. That's all. Sometimes
somebody else wanted. I guess there was another lady that was concerned because we have a lot of women who are still without a tent or need higher assistance, as in people with special needs. There's a lot of people with special needs who are out here in the street. And a civilian was very concerned, and I guess she called the police to do a welfare check on this woman that has been out here for years. And
part of your camp, or?
And, well, she mostly hangs at the Food Not Bombs situations. She's not part of our camp, but she's part of our crew. All these guys are that come to Food Not Bombs. They're all like the chosen few, no matter how tore up. This or that. They all have an important role. So, but this woman said that she called the police to do a welfare check on this woman, and I don't believe they ever did come.
Never made it.
And I told the lady, I said, oh, they're not going to take her anywhere. The woman just moved here from out of state or something, and she thought they would take her into a nice fix-me-up kind of a sheltered, safe place.
And any huts and a cot, perhaps?
I said, no, I told her that. I said, they might take her to jail, but they're not going to take her to the hospital. They're not going to take her to the BHU or anything that costs money. They're going to take her somewhere where they could make money on her body and her suffering, and the only place they would take her then is jail. And the woman was really distraught. She says, oh, no, I don't want that. And I'm like, well, that's kind of what happens here. In Santa Cruz, it's extortion. They use the people that are sick and suffering and use their bodies in the jail. If they do get to go to the hospital, they're kicked right out. I even know some of our people who have died from cancer who were homeless while they had cancer, and their doctors put them on chemo, and they'd go get their chemo poison and then go back to the street and then are sent back to live in the gutter. You know, and part of all cancers is exacerbation from stress. And so I think one of the main goals is not to have the money go to the cancer corporation, but to the people who actually have cancer so that we can alleviate their stresses. And I think we can heal a lot of people, not through the injection of poison and then putting them back in the gutter to live. That's not conducive whether you do or don't have cancer. It's already known that shelter is one of the basic human needs.
You're here again.
The benchland is not San Lorenzo Park. The benchland is river overflow, and if you got really technical, it's probably not mandated by the city police. It's probably mandated by either wildlife, fish, and game, or some
that has to do with the rivers, because that's the river overflow. I've seen it under feet of water. And the people, after just this rain, are down there in little lakes of mud. And again, the city and county got millions to house the people again. And the people, same people in the same conditions. It's like Groundhog Day. If I read back into my writings from 4 years ago and 5 years ago and 3 years ago, it's the same. Same.
Well, I guess so, you mentioned one of the concerns you have now is you saw Brent help somebody set up a tent for someone who then later was taken away in an emergency situation. But you're afraid that the overflow from either Brent's encampments or the benchlands is going to be coming here?
I think it's great. I mean, we have to have a safe place with some semblance of level ground. There's a lot of people that are up on the levee, and they're not on level ground. They've been made to be pushed off of the cart path so that even their tents are not level and slope down the hill of the levee. But we have to have a safe and secure place to have people go to. I want the people to go to the Paradox. The people have...
That's a hotel on Ocean.
When all the people that are homeless have a mugshot, now we're getting to the real of the story. When all the people that are homeless have been drugged into the courtroom on baloney and bullshit tickets and accusations, and then we have the real story going on, not just that they're homeless people. When they all have a mugshot and they're kept down, that's oppression. It's war crime on the people, you know. It's like World War IV. World War III came through your TV. That was all COVID. See if you'd shut your own business down. Nobody dies of the flu, period. You might die of a pneumonia, but that's not the flu.
And we
have... Thank you, Drew.
I didn't want to interrupt you. I just wanted to say hi.
Thank you.
We've been talking with...
This is Cooper.
Thanks, Cooper. Anything else?
No, just another safe place for people to be, because... Like I said, if we get rain again and rain again and rain again, the people down there are going to be washed away. God said to Noah, build anarchy, anarchy. God said to Noah, build anarchy, anarchy. We got a couple of goats down there, roosters and chickens with hair.
Making it up as you go, eh, Cooper?
It could have been an ark, or it could have been anarchy. If you wanted to get, like, silly. Like,
I like it. I like... Maybe
sometimes words have too many...
Maybe not so silly. So,
Lydia Santa Cruz got a grant for $26 million from the federal government. And they split it up and distributed it among 12 agencies where it's going to do nothing. They're not going to be that effective. They could take $26 million. They can build a 25-story... apartment complex, permanent housing. I mean, it would be suitable for, you know, low income, disabled people, women with children, put the men upstairs, and you'd have five stories. You'd have 250 housing units built on that $26 million, but they choose not to. They want to distribute it among 12 different agencies, so where it's not effective.
Thank you.
Low-income housing. Swenson's projects. We've got one that's that Walnut Commons. I think it's Swenson. I'm not sure. The other one's by Lulu's. And the other one is that 555. And I believe they're probably less than a fourth full because they want like $3,000 for rent, $2,500, $2,800. If you have that kind of money to spend on a rinky-dink apartment, you're not going to come live in a shithole where people are being oppressed right out your window. That's why they're empty.
That means we're going to have to clear away the people so the view will be better.
All our people are going in there.
Thank you, Cooper.
Mosem learned so young as a kid in Birmingham what it's like to lose most everything. He was only six, just a few years from the pram, when he discovered all the pain that life could bring. His mother died so young, maybe that's where it began. But when he grew up, he'd travel far and wide. He went off to Bosnia and Afghanistan. For Mosem, there was no other side. When the U.S. war began, he was taken in a raid, held for a year in a windowless cell. He heard the men around him beaten, he heard women flayed. Where they'd take him next, he had no way to tell. Guantanamo Bay, 3 years in a cage, 3 years apart from his young son. 3 years of torture at every single stage. No charge, no trial for him or anyone. But Mosen's only crime was helping people in places most others feared to go. Mosen's only crime was helping people and bearing secrets some folks don't want you to know. 3 years of campaigning for release, sent home to live neath England's cloudy sky. The screams that ring out in his head can never cease. Left to live his life and wonder why. But the years passed by and the wars they ravaged on, and it wasn't long before he knew. With the hundreds of thousands dead and gone, he had to find out if there was something he could do. But Mosen's only crime was helping people in places most others fear to go. Mosen's only crime was helping people and bearing secrets some folks don't want you to know. He came back home from burying the dead and was arrested on a terror law. There was no question in his head. He had to tell the world what he saw, such as the fact that his government kidnapped men and sent them to be tortured by Assad. And this is why they've arrested him again, and this is why I say in the name of God, Mosen's only crime was helping people in places most others fear to go. Mosen's only crime was helping people and bearing secrets some folks don't want you to know. Bearing secrets some folks don't want you to know. Bearing secrets some folks don't want you to know.
And that song was called Mozam, writes David Rovics, after spending years being tortured by the U.S. at Bagram and Guantanamo. Mozam Beg of Birmingham, England, was released by his kidnappers. On February 25, 2014, Mozam was arrested once again upon his return to London from a visit to Syria. The charges were later dropped.
We're talking with Tony. Hi, Tony.
It's okay. I was in jail for self-defense.
Well, you were. Did you successfully defend yourself?
You're not allowed to defend anybody, not even yourself.
What did you discover in jail that you didn't know before?
In jail?
Yeah.
Well, it's getting worse.
How so?
People getting arrested and false arrests and false detainments all the time. Public intoxication. I wasn't even public intoxicated. I got a bunch of tickets for public intoxication now, and there's no proof of me being publicly intoxicated.
How long were you in stir?
140-something days.
Huh.
They dropped it to a court probation violation. I was in some kind of court probation for littering and loitering. You know, like...
When did you get out?
A month ago. What's the date today?
Today is the 25th of October.
Exactly a month ago. Yeah, I'm 65 now, so I'm going to get my retirement money.
Well, that's good.
You know a good lawyer? No such...
None that would help any of us, particularly.
And what do I do with the money?
You give it all to me. I'll spend it on movies.
Moses. I give it to Moses.
Give it to Moses.
I have a bail money for you.
Been outside for the last month?
I'm in there, but I got out with nothing, thanks to Keith. He gave me that tent.
The orange tent?
It doesn't hold the rain and the wind very well. Look at it. Yeah. Plus, there was somebody sleeping in it when I got back 2 days later. Someone was in it and made a mess of it. So
that's a bummer.
But I'm surprised it's still there. I haven't gotten arrested for it.
Good. Well, yeah, I mean, what are they going to do? They have to put you somewhere.
Yeah, well, what's going on? I'm 65 years old. Where can I get, like, a motel voucher? Do they have those for people?
You know, Keith might know. I don't think he has
He probably doesn't have a good answer for you, but he might have a better answer than I do.
HVHV, I have to come over there.
That too, yeah. I wouldn't get your hopes up.
I need to get inside so I stay out of jail.
Yeah, I hear you.
If there's any chance, out here it's too easy to go to jail. They just make things up, especially if they don't like you.
Well, you've been out for a month.
Yeah.
And we've been talking with?
Tony.
Señor Mandanza?
Just off 40
feet. It's about 3:30 on October 25th, and I'm standing on the footbridge, Dragon Footbridge, across from San Lorenzo Park to River Street, looking out on the Benchlands campground. It was a swamp, and it's got a few puddles and a couple of drainage ditches filled with water, but it's passable and generally looks like it's drying up under the afternoon sun. There are still, there are now two layers of tents on both sides of the pathway going up, extending from here to the bridge, to the Water Street Bridge. Some of the orange fencing separates the campground from the river bank area is down, at least near the bridge. Some of it is still up. It looks like there's no fencing. I don't think there necessarily ever was on the San Lorenzo Park side of the bench lands. And the campground fenced off looking toward Soquel Avenue looks drier. Maybe it has more sunshine and some shade there too. And some folks are out and about in both campgrounds. There's even a couple of people, one or two people, maybe one that I've seen sleeping in San Lorenzo Park proper. And Cooper suggested that, a resident of the Puna Bombs area encampment, that the Benchlands campground was set on uneven ground that was slanted. I don't think so. At least I don't see it so much. So it's here on the bridge, right on the river, talking with
Crystal Olson
and her associate
Smoogie,
the infamous doggy. What kind of a doggy is Smoogie?
He's a pit bull.
Oh,
he's a good
very,
he's
very.
A pit bull butt.
He's a sweetie. Looks like.
Yeah.
So what? You last time we talked, quite a ago. You had been ousted from the. What is it, the Gulflands campground, and your tent had been taken. What's happened since?
Well, the rain has happened and the wind, and I no longer even have a canopy up in the park. I'm going to see the wreckage right now. Yeah, everything is blown down and soaking wet, and, you know, if I would have had a tent under that canopy, I might have been able to stay dry, but I didn't, so...
Got soaked during the rain.
Yes, absolutely.
How did you deal with that? I know I was just talking to someone who said it's really hard to obviously find the money to go to a laundromat, wash and dry your clothes and bedding and everything else. Have you been able to deal with that now, or are you facing wet bedding tonight?
Oh, I'm facing definitely wet bedding tonight, and it kind of sucks because I just got done doing laundry. I just washed all my blankets, and now they're all soaking wet. So I'm going to be soggy tonight.
You have a smile on your lips. How can that be?
I just have to stay positive in situations like this, you know. It's not the first time I've been soaking wet in a camp, so
I did go just get back from the shelter today. I just took this Bizat or whatever to get on the housing list. I scored a 9, whatever that means. So I'm waiting.
I have no idea.
Me neither. So I'm waiting for a phone call to figure out where I can get placed. In the meantime, I'm soggy.
You actually look pretty dry, but I guess its appearances could be deceiving.
Well, absolutely, yeah. I mean, some of my stuff was able to be dry. I have a storage, you know, so some of my stuff is dry, but all my belongings are, you know, here. That my necessities and my survival gear is all soaking wet and ruined.
You've been here for the last week and a half.
Oh, yeah. I've been here for longer than that.
But this particular campground.
Yeah, I've been here at this campground longer than that, but, yeah.
Because I remember you said you'd been there for 3 days and we talked to you a week at the meeting before last at the homeless union meeting.
Yeah, well, that was 3 days I was out of the Golflands camp. So I've had a tent here, but I was living at the Golflands. So, so I made sure that I have a secure spot for when the Golflands shut down.
What have you heard from the Golflands refugees, if we can call them that?
You know, nothing good. Nothing good.
Anything at all?
You mean the people that stayed with me or the people running it?
The people that have been, who were in the Golflands and then had to leave.
Oh, yeah. I just actually ran into my friend Ethan that was up at the Golflands and my storage yesterday. He has a storage at the same place. So, I was able to carpool and get here last night and from storage and to find out that everything's soaked and... You know, even just driving in the rain is ridiculous, you know, and scary, and I'm just worried about trees falling on one of us again, and just, you know, I get PTSD and anxiety from what happened to Desi, you know.
And so that's Ray Quintero.
Yeah, every time there's like a storm or the wind is picked up and it's raining, I just worry about all my friends out here, you know.
She died when a tree hit her after the Ross camp was dispersed.
Yeah, absolutely. They shut down the Ross camp and she was in the woods and she died from a tree falling on her.
Although, ironically, although I don't know if it would have happened, there were trees that fell in the Ross camp area. Later in the same, I don't know if it was where she was living, but
No, it was on the top. It was on the top, but there was people living there. Yeah, absolutely. So that was pretty scary and kind of a, you know, you just never know. And that's why I'm always worried about being out here and still under the trees. I'm always making sure that I'm not under a tree, or you know, if I am, that you know, there's something that will, you know, maybe. Catch it or something.
Superman, perhaps?
Yeah, or something. You know, something that it would maybe fall onto instead of me. But yeah, I have PTSD and anxiety over it.
How do you find the company here in the Pinchlands?
How do I find company?
Yeah, how do you find the people here?
Well, I just know everybody, you know, just from being from the Ross camp to here, you know. I basically just, you know, these are my neighbors, you know, I see them every day and I, you know, you talk to your neighbors, you know, eventually. I might not know everybody here, but I know most everybody here. And
do you have your possessions, aside from being ruined by the rain, been safe in the camp?
Oh, absolutely. Nobody bothers my stuff at all. Nobody goes into my stuff. Everybody knows that's my stuff. And nobody, I haven't had any thievery or any problems like that so far.
Is that usual or is that rare, do you think, in the camp?
Oh, no, that's very rare. I just have a lot of respect on the streets. You know, I don't do anybody wrong and dirty, and I just have a lot of friends that look after me and my stuff, you know.
So when you're gone, usually, do you have to delegate someone or do you just sort of are comfortable coming and going?
No, I'm comfortable coming and going. I know nobody wants to go into my stuff. They know it will be all bad. It would be bad. So nobody really messes.
I've gotten some cool wet blankets.
Yeah, I know. They could come on in now. I mean, basically everything that is valuable to me is in my storage. You know, I've spent money on it. You know, my last little bit of money to get a storage. So, you know, most of my valuables or anything that I have really my prized possessions, which is not much, is in my storage.
How safe are women in this encampment, do you think?
Well, you know, it depends on what type of woman you are, you know. I've been safe most of the time.
when there's disputes between, you know, couples, it's disputed really fast. You know, there has been, you know, some girls out here causing problems. But for me, I've been safe, you know, and I feel comfortable around everybody here. Yeah, absolutely. I think and know everybody has my back out here. So,
what about your women friends? How safe do you feel they are?
Well, yeah, we're all safe out here. You know, I mean, when it comes down to it, nobody's gonna let anything really bad go down, I don't think. You know, but it, like I said, it all depends on what type of woman you are. You know, if you're out here running amok and you're out here being scandalous and you're stealing from everybody, and you're then you know you might not be that safe. You know, but that goes for men and women. You know, you put yourself in a position to be messed with, then that might be what happens, you know? Yeah, but for the most part, if you're minding your own business, if you're a woman, you're out here minding your own business, you're just living, you're safe. Yeah, that's how I feel.
And what are your plans for tonight?
My plans for tonight are I'm actually going to go down right now and see what's salvageable and what's not. I'm going to go ahead and take to the trash because, you know, I just can't haul a bunch of laundry to the laundromat, soaking wet blankets and stuff. You know, I'll just go to the day and night storage maybe and see if they have a tent or a sleeping bag or something that I can use for.
Fred Adams helped you in the past?
Yeah, he helped me out once in the past with a tent a long time ago when we first moved down here. So I was directed to go and ask him for some survival equipment, you know, if I needed to.
He directed you to do that?
Alejandro from the shelter, I mean, he didn't say for sure. He just said that would be a good place to start looking, you know, to look for some help for that kind of stuff.
And we have been talking with, of course,
Crystal Olson once again.
And Smokey.
And Smokey. Thanks, Crystal. Yeah. And I'm down here at Soquel and Pacific. Here's a man comfortably set up with a mat, a chair, music, a walker. He's dancing away. And he's concerned about a man who's being held in jail for camping on the beach. And he is urging that all such tickets be dismissed and also that Jake Eitel be released from jail. This is Carl Fox who's doing his dancing, and I hope you can hear me. Any comment, Carl? Take care, Fox. And Carl is dancing right across from the apartment of, well, that has been the apartment of Chief Mills, Chief Andy Mills, who's, of course, no longer chief. He's moving to Palm Beach, and his place is being taken up by Bernie Escalante, who I may have more to say about in a future broadcast if I can unearth some of my past interactions with him, or at least accounts of those interactions with others. Fox had a lot of ideas that you can hear in some of the past broadcasts. He doesn't like to be disturbed while he's dancing, at least not by people with audio recorders. Jake Eitel later got out of jail. In fact, we may be hearing an account which I picked up from him several days later. I'm not sure if we have enough time on this particular edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides to do it, but who knows? We might. So I'm here on the corner of, again, Soquel and Pacific. These are quartz that you have here, right?
Yes.
Many colored quartz. And is it from Arkansas?
Wow.
And I've arranged some of them in heart shapes. They're all. How long does this kind of a display take to set up?
About an hour, hour and a half.
Hour and a half to set up?
Yeah, because I do it really slowly on purpose so that it feels good. It looks good.
How are the sales? Well, let's put it this way.
what kind of satisfaction are you getting? Is it primarily financial or a combination?
I am not out here out of necessity, and I don't need money. I just come out here to spread love, so it's always a good day.
And I see you're doing some handiwork even as you sit here.
Yeah.
What are you making right now?
I'm making a smoky quartz wrap for a friend's mother.
That's nice.
Thank you. It's in sterling silver.
If you were selling that, how much would it sell for?
Well, I actually only make my jewelry for friends for free, so I have no idea.
You haven't been told by the police or other authorities that you have to not sell?
No hassles this time around. I, in fact, called ahead before I came down here to make sure that there wouldn't be any problems.
But they didn't tell you you had to give away or do for a donation. You could still vend if you want.
Yes, they did say vending was currently legal in Santa Cruz.
Much to their chagrin, I guess. I'm afraid. Have you tried this before earlier on?
I used to live here. I actually lived here through all of the give and take phase and did a lot of protesting at the city council when they did the four squares and hassled us a bunch.
What's your name, man?
Joseph.
Robert Joseph.
Yeah, I've spoke with you before down at the clock tower and at Food Not Bombs and at the camp out protests and the Bearcat protests.
And has this is your current residence here, are you in better shape financially, or are you still, should we say, houseless?
No, I have property up north around Shasta, so I'm not houseless currently. I'm just here on vacation.
You would still find you make connections here in spite of the gentrification of the town?
Yeah, but it definitely feels like a shadow of its former self. The light has been dimmed.
You're attempting to bring a little of it back, perhaps?
Trying my best.
What have you found today of note? Has anything happened to you today that you've noticed?
The heart display has drawn a few people's attention, so that feels really nice.
This is, of course, a series of many stones, white, green, and red, and orange, in the shape of a heart.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, little warm things like that that are visually pleasing or things that make people that usually wouldn't stop kind of pay attention and feel some feelings a little bit.
Do you see much of any old friends?
Oh, yeah, tons. Not much has changed in that front. A lot of the same old faces down here.
And has the lack of police pressure on vendors had any other effects downtown?
It's been so rainy off and on lately that it seems like the weather's been affecting vendors more than the police lately.
Sure, at least for the last few days.
It's a very peaceful reprise from the usual, honestly, you know.
The last time you did this was when?
I've been gone for 2 years, so it's been 2 years since I was down here.
And you've been here for a few days?
About a week and a half.
And have you been doing this daily, or?
Well, I take the weekends off because, as I said, I'm not here out of necessity, so I like to open up the space for other vendors when it's the busiest. But yeah, most of the weekdays I've been here.
Anything you've seen that you want to comment on in particular? Because you, how many hours a day, I should ask, how you're here?
On the issue of just like kind of still being disappointed in the Santa Cruz Police Department, I noticed on every rainy day that they were out here specifically rousting people out from under alcoves when I haven't seen their presence out here any other day. And so that kind of frustrated me.
Were you venting in the rain, or you just happened to be...
Just down here. Just me.
There's a lot of young people gathering here, although that's probably right after school. Looks like folks from high school. Any particular focus by police on youth?
No, I haven't seen them bothering the kids at all.
That's good. Many other vendors, so you have much association with them.
We all get along fine, and they seem to be doing fine. No problems at all.
I see people do stop and look, but then they turn away without paying, for heaven's sake.
That's fine. It's the energy that they feel, I think.
Yeah, hey, which one gets... So what's the...
Yeah. Oh, I like that color.
So which one has... Thanks, yeah.
What's the price range here?
Anything from a dollar to a few hundred.
Which, for example, would be a dollar?
Most of the loose single stones are a dollar. Almost all of them. Between like $1 and $5 for all of the little tumbled and raw stones.
Whereas the big ones are...
This one's a couple hundred.
The big white piece of quartz?
This is a hundred. For the bigger smoky quartz and quartz points.
And you got this, you say, from Arkansas?
Yeah. All the clear quartz is from Arkansas.
And you traveled Arkansas to get shipped to you?
Yeah, I try to drive there once or twice a year.
Relations there, or just...
It's the biggest quartz vein in the world. It's over 170 miles long.
Wow. Have you tried to vend in Arkansas?
I have not. I just go there for the rocks.
And have you noticed any of the... stopped in any of the Santa Cruz-sized towns there and had any sense of how they're treating people who are outside, vending or homeless?
I don't see a lot of either there, honestly, so I'd imagine their policies are very different.
Anything you want to add that I haven't covered at the moment?
No. Just chatting.
And again, we've been talking with...
Joseph.
And Joseph, if people want to see your quartz online, is there any place where they can go?
Nope. I just do it for fun, so it's all in person.
But you may be at the corner of Pacific and SoCal occasionally?
Yep, during the weekdays. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate you, Rob.
Parking places. He got angry if one of the residents took one of the visitor spaces. In the apartment complex, it might provide one little clue that this middle-aged man had accomplished little that he set out to do. He spewed anger at all of his neighbors, and he hated religion so much. Maybe that's why he moved to the Bible Belt, because hatred is such a good crutch. He spewed anger about all religions, with his back against the wall. Why stop at hating just one of them when you could just hate them all? Another angry white American man with a gun. Another angry white American man. He was 46 years old. He didn't live among his peers. Neighbors mostly younger by about 24 years. Neighbors from all over. Some in religious dress, but what in hell the man was thinking, we can only try to guess. Another angry white American man with a gun. Another angry white American man. Was 46 years old. His neighbors had a meeting last year to talk over what they might do about this man they feared. He carried a loaded pistol, no telling what might inspire him to pull it out one day and
fire! Fire! Fire!
Another angry white American man with a gun. Another angry white American man. Another angry white American man with a gun. Another angry white American man.
Angry White American Man is the song. On February 10th, 2015, yet another angry white man from the United States committed a massacre entering the home of a young Muslim neighbors and killing three of them. In recent years, massacres in the U.S. are far more likely to be committed by a white U.S. citizen than by any other demographic, although most white people may or may not be aware of this fact. Okay, well, it's Food Not Bombs time here on Thursday, the 28th of October, about 1:15, talking with...
Garrett Stevens.
And Garrett, are you here as an interloper, an observer, a worker? How are you here?
I feel like I'm a bit of each of those things, but I'm also a volunteer driver for Food Not Bombs. Would be more, I don't really think Food Not Bombs takes itself to be official or authority at all. We try to put up tents and serve food, so I'm responsible for driving the van, setting the tents up on Wednesday and Thursday. That's pretty much my capacity, but try to do the good I can when I'm here, basically.
Well, I see you moved back to the street side, the Laurel side of the parking lot, whereas when I was here last, the thing was set up against the wall of the Santa Cruz Community Credit Union. And I'm referring to the Food Not Bombs canopy and food and clothing situation, which is seems to have been moving about a bit. Garrett explains that. What does this all mean?
From what I can tell, I don't have a clear answer on that, but what I understand, I don't see what the no parking signs are about. That might have been in response to this. That's conjecture. I wouldn't take... So
there are now no parking triangular, what do we call those things, signs,
yeah.
Which all along the wall there... I suppose we should be grateful there are not no sitting signs.
Yeah, they definitely say no. One of the things you can clearly see is no, and I don't know if that was in response to us setting up close to the credit union building. I'm not sure. It very well could have been that, but I'm sure we set up over there in response to the rain because someone set up on the concrete slab we were normally set up over here, and I'm sure that had to do with buckling down for the crazy rainstorms that everybody on the street had to endure.
How long were people with Food Not Bombs set up over next to the credit union?
Actually, so Wednesdays and Thursdays are the days I'm reliably here, and I wasn't here when we were set up on that side, so it couldn't have been more than 4 or 5 days.
I see. Now, one of the questions that I keep asking is Nomad still in operation, or the I don't know, Comrades Cafe? Have you heard anything about them?
I haven't, I like the opportunity to think about those folks because I haven't seen them in a little bit. That doesn't mean they're not around. I had a chance to see Sal from Nomad and Santa Cruz People's Kitchen a few weeks ago. He was helping one of our friends who got their stuff taken when they got arrested by the police, and we just stored it real quick. Sort of as an emergency thing. So I know those guys are active. I haven't had a chance to see them recently, so I'm not sure if they're still often putting on food or how often they're doing that. I know they were doing some stuff when the reemergence of Comrade Cafe came about. They were traveling a little bit and going to San Jose and that sort of stuff. They did a tiny house gathering, building tiny homes. So it's possible that they're looking for opportunities like that to meet other people in the community. But yeah, I've been mostly at this post over here at Food Not Bomb, so I'm ignorant of what they've been up to, and a little bit too much of the benchlands. Luckily, I can ask some people who come here who live in the benchlands how things are doing. But yeah, the rains sound like they're hard for everybody.
Well, the reason I'm asking, of course, has to do with the fact that as winter approaches, one wonders when the city will make its, what I had previously thought was an inevitable move on the benchlands. Although, in some previous winters, they've left the benchlands alone. So maybe this will be, even though there's a much greater number of people here, and there's this supposed concern about either a real flooding in terms of the real welfare of the people there, or maybe just some kind of government regulation about flooding, which has them worried about evacuating the benchlands. Hmm. Howdy.
Hello.
Yeah. If I'm hearing, I guess I'm assuming that you would hope the benchlands stay up. That's my position. I really hope the benchland. I mean, I don't see if they're going to move them if they have enough. There's always the capacity problem. There's always a contingency of people in Santa Cruz that hope people who are unhoused move away or just disappear. So any time people are moved, there's always the opportunity of those people kind of getting their claws into the game and trying to see how many people can be swept out of the city altogether. And honestly, that's a lot of what the spirit of when Nomad and Comrade Cafe, you know, popping up during the San Lorenzo blockade was in response to, was the crazy decree of Bernal to do a Christmas sweep and to just sort of like ambiguously not really promise any position of people to go to. So I know last year Nomad was able to get some donations, some money from a donor, and distribute tents and needed supplies to people in the early spring. And so, yeah, as winter comes on, you know, and as more need arises, it's possible that we see a reemergence of that. And I'd be here to join with what time I have available, just to see what, because, you know, yeah, I guess the idea is how to be as effectively helpful as we can, and be realistic about what we're doing with
them. Here's a man with a surfboard. Are you a resident of the Benchlands by any chance?
No, well, Dakota Landing or whatever there.
How is Dakota Landing coming?
Hi, society.
Hey. That's, of course, the area that's on the other side of the...
But I just got out of jail where they gave me housing, 75 days of housing for 39 camping tickets. No other tickets, no drugs or alcohol or violence or stolen property or trash, nothing.
By 75 days of housing, you mean 75 days of jail?
Yeah. No, I did 35 and got a five-day kick or whatever. But
how,
yeah,
are the accommodations?
Well, once you get to Roundtree, not too bad, but the first week is pretty bad.
And what about the the meals and the service?
Oh, with a smile, you know. I don't really want to talk about jail too much. I'd rather talk about, like, what the heck is going on in this world, dude? People, we need more love. Stop the hate. That's about it.
One last question. Are you back at Dakota?
Yeah, a little bit. But I'm trying to stay at Cowles Beach the most, and I'm going to go on a little vacation in about a month or two to Palm Springs and visit my good friend Annie Mills. Let him know that I didn't forget about him there.
That's the spirit. We want a full report on how he's doing down there.
Beautiful down there in the winter.
What he's doing.
He'll be so happy to see me and Carl Fox.
And again, we've been talking with, if you wish to say...
The beach bum, Jake Gaitel.
Jake Gaitel, the famous man who, of course, has been pursued relentlessly by the very same Carl Fox.
Yeah. Also, my friend, Chief Deputy Jim Hart, who keeps trying to have boxing matches with me at the beach, is a pretty funny guy. Yeah, he keeps trying to bait me into fighting, and he'd tell me, come on, take a swing, I'll mop you up. And I tell him I'm not into violence, man. You know, I mean, like, he's a fat old man anyway, what would he get? But Jim Hart, sweetheart.
Now, I know that Carl Fox, your advocate, so to speak, or your... I'm not sure if he's your PR man or
my
your nemesis.
Partner in freedom. He's my partner in freedom, yeah.
He said that he feels the deputy should take over the town's police behaviors department, so to speak. What's your feeling about that?
I don't know. I was in court the other day, and nobody knows what's going on at all, to tell you the truth.
And why do you say that? Be more specific if you can.
David, you know, like, they're just in there joking around, and I'm in there for 3 hours. It'd be given 3 hours for a cop to show up. I'm like, if I was 3 hours late, I'm getting, they're not going to wait for that.
Contempt of court.
Yeah, so.
A warrant.
Yeah, you know, but let's remember, sunny California, dude. I love it here.
And that's why you have your surfboard with you.
I got all my possessions back. Oh, 90% of what I left behind when they arrested me at 5 o'clock in the afternoon while I was painting a portrait of my rendition.
Did you finish the portrait?
Oh, no, but it was a beautiful rendition of last year's CZU lightning strike fire.
Well, have you got other portraits that people can see if they want?
Not yet. Well, they're always works in progress, though.
Where will you be tenting, or do we want to keep that a secret?
I don't really tent anywhere. I live everywhere I go. So,
any particular... people want to find you and hear about your adventures, and you feel like talking... Where should they find you if you want to say?
You'll find me.
And we've been talking with?
Jake.
Thank you, Jake. Report from Dreamcatcher. Go ahead, Dreamcatcher.
I'll go with that today. But I ain't no rat.
Let's talk about Chief of Police leaving Dodge. You notice they're all rats abandoning a sinking ship here. You got Chip Chip bailing to Boulder. The guy from the Downtown Association, as soon as he found out it was the Downtown Corporation, and he had nothing to do anymore because it was all about corporations. And then what happens next? Oh, yeah, the city manager bails. Now the chief of police is bailing and going to Palm Springs, where it's already gentrified, and he doesn't have to worry about a city that isn't willing to deal with
him. Have you been to Palm Springs yourself?
Not recently, but I've been... places nearby. Palm Springs is for bums.
Really?
Yeah, rich bums eat the rich.
Too far away from the ocean.
It's too far away from the ocean.
That too. It once was an ocean, and it will be again.
Okay.
I think Cracker said that in a song.
So Ray, for the last year, what's your take on police behavior over the last year?
Confused. I don't think they know what the fuck they're doing, but I never thought they knew what the fuck they were doing, except following some reactive policies being set by the city for their real estate buddies. If you look at the Downtown Corporation, for example, it's no longer the Downtown Businessmen's Association. They got no say whatsoever in what's happening down there.
The DTA is out?
It's Downtown Corporation now.
How long has that been the case?
No, it's more interesting who the people that are the Downtown Corporation are. It's the Economic Development Department's people. The city created a little sub-corporation, and what they've essentially done is the first step in just privatizing every square inch of downtown.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Slowly but surely. And I know something else they're going to do, because they're little sleaze bags. All that parking they're taking up by putting in their open air thing that everybody likes so much, they're going to say they need to make up for the parking. They're going to build that garage at the farmer's market parking lot, whether anybody wants it or not. And all the progressive liberals will just disappear into the woodwork when the chainsaws start going.
I want the trees to stay there. I don't want any trees taken out. I want the trees to stay there. You know what? We can't cut down one more tree. Start now.
They're carbon reduction devices. Enough with these pipe dreams about building carbon sink facilities and things like that. Trees are a carbon sink facility. But aside from all that, they'll do that. They want to turn this downtown into a sterile little shopping mall, a bit at a time, for a bunch of pseudo-rich people who in reality are going away. I was just in Denver and Albuquerque. The computer industry is moving there. They're not staying here anymore. Eventually, all their little contract work for Google and stuff like that's going to run out, and all they know is bougie little shopping malls. And if it doesn't work one way, we rearrange it another way. And it's going to end up a bunch of housing for those people with shopping downstairs to match their taste, which will be tapas bars, fern bars, and of course women's clothing stores. Girls gotta look good for the office, right? But
no discos?
Maybe they'll leave them at the fringe of downtown or something like that. They'll develop a red light district. All those techie people like red light districts too. It makes them feel like they're slutty. Anyway, I think I've run out that thread.
I put on women's panties. That's only when I lose a bet with my friend, because we don't like to lose the rent money or the food or the dope.
No, but seriously, they're flushing this town down the tubes in the interest of the real estate industry. Then they're all fleeing like rats leaving a sinking ship here.
What's your take on the Benchlands? Have you spent any time there?
It all appears like some sort of organized encampment with a fringe that's not so organized. What's new? This is like the Rainbow Gathering in the A camp. This is the way it always pans out.
They turn anything they occupy, or we, I should speak for us, we turn anything we occupy long enough into a hazardous waste site, unkid friendly. They got to rope it off. They got to spend a lot of time and
dirty, filthy feces, COVID-19 hippies.
Right. And needles and pills and solvents and feces, yes. And if they can get it.
Claiming that this is the problem.
This is what is present there in that bench land right now.
Your daughter's right middle class. We want your daughter.
Right. It's not married.
Now, Ray, are you agreeing with Dreamcatcher that this is that the Benchlands is a hazardous area?
Well, it's hazardous for one reason, because I was here in 1983 and watched the Benchlands turn into part of the river.
Aside from that.
It was trying to get the county building, too. We were all up on the Water Street Bridge cheering it on as it came up that second rise. It didn't quite make it, but we were just hoping it would flood the basement out.
But given the dry area, sort of dry area now, what's your feeling about the welfare of the people there at the moment?
I don't like camping in lowlands. I'll just leave it there. I don't think lowlands are healthy. It's always damp down there, even on the best days, and it's going to turn into a soggy mess, and they belong in the upper part of the park.
Do you think they eventually will move there? Or?
I have no idea what the city doesn't want it to be there at all. I remember when those people across the street that complained, when they put in that kiddie park, those people complained about that kiddie park, too. Oh, you don't
remember? I haven't heard about that, no.
And in the long run, because you got a bunch of complainers, instead of a beautiful little sundial on the top of the hill there, you have a surveillance camera tree.
When the Nazis came to Rotherham, most people stayed indoors and closed their blinds. Let them have their Nazi rally, then try to leave the day behind. Then the Nazis came to Rotherham. In 14 months they marched 14 times, always accusing every Asian of every unspeakable crime. Then the Nazis were there in Rotherham when he was walking to the mosque to pray. Mushin Ahmed was beaten so savagely that he died that way. Then when the Nazis came back to Rotherham, this time the town was in the streets. So this time the cops kettled the march, and this time they forced the march to meet the Nazis who hang out in Rotherham at a pub called the William Fry, who were waiting for the kettled marchers so they could attack them as they were passing by. And the police raid came at dawn, awakening everyone. I was there with my family, asking them, what have I done? What have I done?
Attacked by the Nazis in Rotherham, they had to act in self-defense. How could this possibly be a criminal offense? The Nazis came to Rotherham. Then the Crown charged 12 men for defending children from racist attacks as they were forced to walk by the pub when the Nazis came to Rotherham. And then prison hung over the heads of those who defended their children instead of cowering under their beds. And the police raid came at dawn, awakening everyone. I was there with my family, asking them, what have I done? What have I done?
The Nazis came to Rotherham, and the trial of the Rotherham 12 was the consequence of Asian men who dared to defend themselves. Those who fought the Nazis in Rotherham could have gone to prison for years, but they were found not guilty by a jury of their mostly white working class peers. The Nazis came to Rotherham. Some of them did time behind bars, though the Rotherham 12 were acquitted. The families are marked by the scars. When the police raid came at dawn, awakening everyone. I was there with my family, asking them, what have I done? What have I done?
And that one was a little harder to understand for me, but here's what he writes about it, does David Rovics. On February 13, 2018, the last two members of the Rotherham 12 were acquitted. The crimes supposedly committed by these 12 men were those of self-defense against fascists who had come to make trouble in their town. The fascists were inspired by tabloid media reports that would have people believe that the pedophiles in town represented the entire Muslim community, which they certainly did not. Fascists were marching on Rotterdam monthly, and two of them also beat an elderly man to death for whom they were convicted and imprisoned when the Nazis came to Rotterdam. And now here's the rest of the Food Not Bomb interviews, actually a long segment with Razor Ray, who you've been hearing, who's been around for quite a while, and who I've recorded over the years, but never at such length as on this particular occasion. So check him out if you want or don't. And I'm going to leave this particular tape to run. And if you want to catch more of my critique and also hear more of the City Council's call-ins on the OVO, the Oversized Vehicle Ordinance, check out my show on Sunday, and you're likely to hear more of that. And some other stuff, too.